Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the KP Elite Podcast. I am coming to you guys here from the Forum, and we have got a special guest with us today. This is going to be an interesting person to talk to and an interesting journey that I'm excited to find out a little bit about. We've got Mr. Cameron Jackson with us today. Cameron, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So you know, we came across some of the stuff you were doing, and for you know, the folks out here listening to us today, I want to just get started with a little bit of your background for people that are not familiar with you. You know, just tell them a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you're at now, and kind of how we got led up to this, because I know you've got a little bit of a sports and fitness background in there, and then that eventually leads into the real estate world. So tell us kind of where you got started.
Okay, so I was born and raised, for the most part, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Moved to Houston, Texas, and I will go back and forth from Louisiana to Texas, and that's all going to come to play at the end of the story. So I go back and forth a lot, and I grew up roping, actually. So I used to ride horses, and I used to rope.
Oh, wow.
And playing sports. So I knew I either wanted to be like a professional cowboy, or I wanted to go to the league somehow, right? So I go to Texas, and I spend more of my time in Texas, and then I end up going to college, and I'm playing sports. I go to D1. And at this point, I'm just thinking about going to NFL. I don't have any ideas or plans of anything else. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what's happening. So, you know, life hits us all at different times. And so I kind of got more realistic once I started getting to the end of school. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure how the NFL is going to be looking now. I need to kind of find another career path. I had no clue what I was going to do, right? So at this point, I had a little clothing brand that I started. And I thought I started my own business. And that's where the actual nickname CEO came from, because when I started the clothing brand, all my friends started calling me this. Yeah. So I'm thinking I have this big clothing brand going on. I'm thinking I'm making all this money. Yeah. And I'm making motion and everything. So my mom, she comes to me, and my mom's done real estate on the side for a long time, but I never really just like understood what she did. And so she said, hey, there's a property, you know, you have a little bit of cash. Let's go half on this property and get this place and, you know, and see where it goes. I was like, you know what? Whatever. She was basically going to spearhead the whole process. So I didn't have to really do too much. I was in school still at this time. So we get this property, we fix it up, we house hack it, it gets rented out. Things are starting to move. And so at this point, I'm like, okay, I go to Jamaica on this trip after football season's over.
Okay.
And I see how they're using shipping containers. And I was like, man, that would be a great idea. So I'm already kind of like, my mind's already kind of going towards real estate and developing. And now I see that income coming in from that house. And I'm like, man, I'm kind of like how that feels. Like something I did months ago is still paying me today. So
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool. So my grandpa, how I said in Louisiana earlier, my grandpa gave me a plot of land right in smack dab in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, right across from like the biggest hospital in the city, 2 minutes away from downtown, prime real estate. Yeah. And I go to Jamaica and I get the idea, and I talk to my parents about it a little bit more when I get back. And I'm like, maybe I can do this on a plot of land in Louisiana. And so it comes down to, we're about to go into our last football season. I was, you know what? I'm kind of done with school right now. Like I'm done with school. I want to start making some money. So I ended up literally leaving, going to Louisiana, and developing on that property. And then during that time, I started getting more properties as well. Vacant properties, old gas stations, you know, abandoned houses, burned down houses, things like that, developing. And it's kind of really just getting myself into this space. And I created a shipping container park in Louisiana on that plot of land. And also just from there, I started this kind of and doing flips, commercial real estate, and things like that. So that's kind of where I am right now. I'm living in Houston currently. Okay. I go back and forth to Louisiana. Currently in Houston right now, doing some flips right now, just because the interest rates and things with multifamily isn't great.
Yeah.
So kind of waiting that out, and then kind of just doing some flips in the meantime, rentals and things like that. So that's kind of like a quick little.
That's a quite the overview there, because that's a lot of stuff that you got going on there. You know, pretty quickly there at the beginning. And so I want to come back to, you know, the containers that you're talking about and that development that you got there. But before that, so let me talk about, was your family into it then? Is that how, because you said your mom was doing it on the side And then, I'm sorry, was it your grandfather, you said, that had that piece of land as well?
Yes.
So is there, are these...
Yeah, I mean, it's never like real estate focused. He had a barbershop. It was the biggest barbershop in Louisiana. And so that's the plot of land that he actually gave me. Mm-hmm. So my grandpa had a bunch of clubs and different things that he already did in Louisiana. And so this is land I already had. My mom works in the hospital, and so did my dad at the time. My dad does IT, and my mom works in the hospital. And so my mom would just do rentals on the side because she saw her mom doing it. Mm-hmm. And in high school, she would have me go to the rental properties and help her out and do things that she owned, but I hated doing it. I was like, I'd rather be out with my friends. Like, I want to yell my friends, partying. Like, I was like, screw this, Alex. Like, let me leave here, right? I'm like, you don't live here. I don't want to do this, blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny because it started like clicking my mind, like what she was doing later on when I finally got into it. And so she had a little bit of experience, but my mom has a full-time job. So she can never really just submerge herself in it and really marry it. And that's when I started getting older in this past like two years or so. We just understood, like, okay, we want to take it to the next level. I'm going to have to fully just get into it and figure it out. She doesn't have time, can't look at anybody else to do it for you. You have to really make it happen. And that's kind of where it came from. But nobody in my family is like licensed real estate agent or has this done
actual real estate.
Yeah. It was always just kind of on the periphery then.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So tell us then. So now you're doing this. This sounds like when you get that piece of land there in Louisiana and you start doing, like you said, you start picking up other vacant properties and other things. Is this your, this would have been right after your last year of college or right around that age? So, I mean, you're in your very early 20s right there. Am I getting that right?
I'm like 23 at the time.
Okay. So I'm sure a lot of people want to know then when you start picking it, like, how does a guy who's this young and just getting started, how are you picking up those first deals? How are you coming across them? How are you taking some of those down? Give us a little insight into what was happening there.
So like for shipping container part, for instance, right? Well, I tell people all the time, I said, having no overhead is one of the biggest blessings. So when you go and try to start a business, buy something, and you have to pay rent just immediately, that overhead kind of puts a lot of pressure on. So I never had any overhead. And shipping containers were cheap. So shipping containers were cheap, and I was able to kind of start building everything myself. And so it started off really cheap. Another thing that also as well is in Louisiana, they have a thing called adjudicated properties. So different states have different ways where tax lien properties, that's basically what it is. Tax lien, the state takes it and they auction it off. Well, in Louisiana, you can get these properties for cheap as $100. I've gotten a property for $100. I've gotten an old gas station for $350. Wow. And I've also gotten an acre of land for $500, right?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
So, and that's how I was really getting started. So I would go to the auction that went with 15th or 18th every single month. And I would go and I'd get a little steal of a property that cost like $100. So like, instead of buying some shoes, let's go get a quick property that I know somewhere. And once I got the container part going, I got really in with the mayor and a lot of people that are doing things in the city. So I started to hear about other projects that were going to be happening in the city. And so getting that insight, I was like, let me go get this property that's only going to be $200 at the state's auction off right next to where we're about to be building in the next 2 or 3 years. And so that's how I was able to acquire different properties. Really was basically stealing them from the state in the auctions. And then also the container part, I had no overhead while I was paying rent. So I was able to take my time. I was able to get the shipping container. Shipping containers at the time were like $1,000, $1,200. So you can get a shipping container, get it built out, get everything else. And, you know, things piled on as well, like a cost. But for the most part, that's kind of really how I got started. It was cheap. I was trying to find the cheapest way to get in and go. And then, like I said, when I started with that first property, I would even split the cost on my mom. So we would go half on something, go half, and then build up to go there. So that also made it easier as well.
That's awesome. That's amazing that you can pick up some of those properties like that through those tax sales. And how did you, was it just kind of you talking to people, or how did you even find out that something like that was available to you?
Just talking to people. Yeah. Just talking to people in Louisiana, Baton Rouge. And there was this guy named Jackie. Jackie had got a couple of them. He's like the same age as I am. So he was another person that was young in the city. And me being young at the time it made networking just so much easier. Like, to be completely honest, it was just like no one to believe it. It was like spreading like wildfire at the time. And I was able to meet the right people and just talking to people and just telling them what I was doing. They were like, hey, Jackie's, you know, come and says, hey, so as my mom and I, I'm getting properties for this much on the auctions. We're like, no way, right? No way. And then we go to it and we see it with our own eyes. And we were hooked ever since then. And so just talking to people and just figuring out different ways to get into it is how I got into it.
That's great. Yeah. And so for those folks listening out there, especially if you're younger, that's amazing. And that's huge. That's what we talk about, guys, is just get out there, start talking to people, start doing things. If you're in those rooms and you're in those conversations, you're going to find stuff out. And so, you know, start networking with those people, and just rather than sitting back and trying to figure out how it is, you see, like Cameron's doing here, he was out there and started having those connections and getting that info and moving on it. And that's awesome. That's great to hear.
I think that was the biggest thing, was just getting started. Because a lot of times, especially once I started the Container Park, people had already thought, like, to me, it wasn't like a really big deal. But a lot of people were just like, once you start something and already have that motion, it's easier for people to come on along and say, okay, we've seen what you've done here. Let me try to either help you take it to the next level, or how can I help you in this or different ways like that. And that's really how I got started.
Yeah. And let's dive in a little bit more there. So that's Millennial Park, right? So that's where, perfect. So you got the idea, it sounds like, when you were in Jamaica. So you saw something there. Is that my understanding? Okay. So tell us a little bit more, for those that don't know, what exactly is Millennial Park? What is it? You know, how does it function? What's going on there?
Millennial Park is basically an outdoor food court made out of shipping containers. So you get like a shipping container that you would see on an 18-wheeler. You'd buy one that's cleaned out. They clean it really well, any chemicals or anything. Buy one of those containers. And it's crazy because you can literally get like a skill saw and cut that. So you can get a container and you can turn it into a restaurant. So I got the container, a couple thousand bucks, put it on the property, put, you know, the sinks in, the AC, and did everything, and turn about 10 to 12 of them into little businesses and rent them out. So it's basically an outdoor food court.
Wow, that's awesome. And so the restaurants that were going in there, were these people that had like food trucks, or did they already have physical locations and they were adding to this, or people just starting up, or what kind of, who was going in there?
It was a mixture of both. So it was a mixture of both. And that was the plan as well, to like help small businesses. And it happened during COVID as when it took off. And so a lot of people were just starting up, and then some people had the food trucks or had something previously, and COVID hit and they couldn't pay for it anymore and they needed a different area. So in that as well. In another way, we did a lot of pop-up shops because it's during COVID, and everyone is so funny because I started developing it and then COVID hits and everyone's like, no, you know, before it happened, everyone was like, no one's going to want to be outside eating food under, you know, in containers, blah, blah, blah. And then COVID hits and now everyone wants to be outside. And it's just perfect. And we started having pop-up shops. So basically, even if you couldn't afford to put your business, or you wanted to start a new business or just try a new business out, we were having these pop-up shops where it'd be like 30 to 40 vendors on the property on like a Saturday from 11 to 6. And you could come and shop, and we'd have music, we'd have food, and every hundreds of people just coming through all day shopping with these people. We'd have it every single weekend in different vendors every single time. It was great.
That should be everything that we're able to do as well.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's perfect timing there with COVID for that to take off. That's amazing. And so now you've got stuff, like you said, there in Baton Rouge and in Houston. And now, so you're based in Houston right now. And so you've got Millennial Park in Baton Rouge. And do you have rental properties there as well? Are you doing, you know, rentals and flips in Houston? What does it look like now for you between the two? And that is that the only two markets that you're in?
Those are El Paso, Texas as well, but we only have one property in El Paso.
Okay.
But Baton Rouge, I have more properties in Baton Rouge. That's kind of really where I got started, where I was able to get those properties for steals. So I have more in Baton Rouge, and I do have some rentals in Baton Rouge, but I also have some in Houston. I have one I just actually finished in Houston about a week and a half ago, just got a tenant in there. And I'm trying to attack a few more. So Houston, starting to get more and more and more. But Baton Rouge is basically where everything is.
Very cool. And are you looking to acquire these as long-term rentals, or are you doing flips with them, or what's your strategy with it?
Oh, yes. I wanted to do flips, but I fall in love with the property after I just like, I start doing things to it. And I really just want to get a tenant in here because I love that income.
Yeah.
So flips don't really move me, because once you do get, okay, yes, you do a flip and you get the 50 grand from it, and then you're going to have to go buy something else with that 50 grand. You're not just going to sit there and spend that money on nothing. So it's like, to me, the getting the property, bringing it out, you know, the refinance method, and then going and getting more is kind of what I fell in love with.
Yeah.
I love having the property and acquiring the assets and keeping the assets.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, when I first started, I was doing a lot of flips because the flips are sexy. You know, you got big numbers. Yeah. And you like it. You're like, oh, look what I transformed this into. And then I sold it for this big big number, but it's exactly what you said. You know, you realize at some point you're like, wait a minute, this is still a job. Like, I got to go find another one. You know, I potentially got taxes I got to pay on this thing. I don't have any income coming in right now unless I'm doing another deal, unless I'm working. And so, you know, you're definitely a lot smarter than me because you figured out a lot sooner than I did, which is, hold on a second, if I can keep these and keep the residual income coming in, and then, like you said, harvest that equity, go do it again, you know, and build that cash flow on there. So that's awesome that you figured that out. So let me ask you then, are you focusing on single family, multifamily? You know, you've got some commercial in there with Millennial Park. I mean, what is it? What does that mix look like? And is there something you prefer over the others or something you're staying away from?
Currently, it's been a lot of single residential.
Okay.
But I really like multifamily. I really like to get an apartment complex and get an apartment complex like 15, 35 units, maybe tap in, get a couple of those, and then just go. Because it's almost the same thing as residential. It's just a bigger property, fix it up more, and then go from there. I really want to get into commercial with the multifamily, but right now with the rates and everything, how it is, it's kind of a little bit harder to find a deal.
Yeah.
So right now I've just kind of been falling in love with the single families, and I'm going to kind of play this out and keep doing this and just going slow, slow, slow until I can get that big multifamily and kind of go from there. But I'd really like to get into it. I mean, like Millennial Park, I'd like to do another container park. I'm looking at either El Paso to possibly do one, or possibly somewhere in Florida. But I have somebody in El Paso that would like to possibly do it. And El Paso is a hidden gem. I love it out there. I might be able to do that there. But as of right now, it's kind of focusing on single family, but I'd really like to get an apartment building sometime soon.
Oh, very cool. So, and I know, you know, with that sports background that you've got, and we see on your social media stuff, you know, fitness is still a big part of your life and everything like that. How does that fit into your world? How does it fit into your business and your daily stuff? I mean, what influence has that had? Because, you know, you see, I guess when we're looking at what you're doing in there, it seems to be, and maybe you can tell us if this is the case, it seems to be a pretty big part of your life in there. How do you integrate those? And, you know, what are you getting from that that's helping you on one side or the other?
Yeah, it really is. It's a huge part of my life. And then with sports, it's just like almost ingrained in you, just like the working out and that aspect of it. So for me, I always had that growing up. So to like, even now, it almost just goes right hand in hand, because working out and just like my fitness and my health is something that makes me happy. And that's just something that just makes me be, I can be successful in other ways of my life. If I'm able to focus and hone in on my fitness and my health, if I'm feeling good, then I'm able to focus on those things. And so it's something that I really just feel like I'm almost like have just been programmed my whole life to just, okay, whatever you're doing, you need to be successful, but also you need to be working out and doing these things as well. So it's kind of just like something I feel like I've been programmed to. I mean, honestly, how 2023 is now, we're just like influencing and social media and things like that. There's so many different avenues of that can help you out too. So even being in the fitness world, right? I've been meeting a lot of fitness influencers that are making a ton of money, but don't know what to do with it. They're like, man, I want to get into real estate, but I have no clue how to. And so that's also where I come into play too. So I'm able to connect that bridge and say, hey, come in with me on this next property. We'll get this property. We'll do this A, B, and C to it, and then we'll go from there. And so that's kind of how I've been able to kind of bridge the worlds together. But for me, it's like, I feel good. It helps me feel good. And it's something I've just always been used to. And then also I'm able to kind of connect those two worlds as well.
That's really interesting. So you like you said, in today's world, you're almost broadening that audience that you've got there, the reach that you've got, you know, which is helping you on the business side. So that's really interesting, in an interesting way to look at it. And so, you know, you've got folks coming in there now that you're reaching through, you know, through social media or other channels. And are you doing deals? It sounds like you're partnering on some of these deals that you're doing together with other people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Very cool. And is that primarily how it is, or are you doing most of them yourself and that's, you know, here and there, or is it primarily partnering with people at this point?
Primarily, for the past, I've only done deals with my mom. So my mom and I usually just go in on deals together.
Okay.
And just do things just because I just feel so comfortable with my mom. She's always on my back. She's going to make sure I'm doing what I need to be doing. Like if I'm forgetting something, she's going to be on me hard. And I know just like where it's coming from. I know the love she has, and I can just trust her so much. And you know, when you're dealing with like large amounts of money sometimes, it's like, I don't know, I just feel comfortable with my mom.
Sure.
But I'm starting to branch out a little bit more. Like in the past, it's just been us, and you know, we've kind of just attacked things. But I'm starting to kind of do a little more things with a couple of friends of mine, ex-NFL athletes and things like that that want to come into play.
That's very cool. Yeah, I'm sure there's definitely obviously that trust and familiarity with your mom there. So tell us, you know, we're hearing about a lot of the success, which is great in this, but what would you say, what's probably the worst deal you've done or a misstep that you had somewhere along the way? Because we've all had them. I've had way more than I care to remember in my book.
Man, I have two that I want to speak on. Even like, so the first deal that I got with my mom, the first deal after my mom.
Okay.
I'm thinking.
On your own now? This is the first deal you did on your own? Okay.
Yeah, because this thing is on my own, right? So I'm like, okay, I've done a deal. Come on, I already know the ropes. Rushing into it, not taking my time, not having an inspector really come and look at the foundation, really come and look at the roof. I'm looking at it myself, and I'm thinking it's good to go. I walk in, tell the realtor, let's rock with it, let's go. Get into the property. Foundation needs to be repaired, fixed, all of it all over the house. It needs a new roof. It has mold. So these are all costs that I had no clue that were going to be. That I was going to have to pay for. And so I really took a hit on that property and that wasn't as successful as I thought. And another thing was when I started Millennial Park, I'm thinking that, you know, you jump on some land, you build something and it's successful. I did not get into the community around. I was in the community in Baton Rouge, but I didn't get into the immediate community. The neighborhood that was right behind where my property was. And that ended up affecting me in the long run. So they felt slighted that I came in, and even though it was my grandpa's land and they knew my grandpa, they didn't like that I came in from out of town, someone new, and just started basically, to them, it was like starting like a whole fun zone right outside their house without them knowing. And so it blew up way faster than expected. So not only did they not know what was going to happen, it came a point where once you started really opening up, people were parking all in neighborhood, the music is loud, and it was just a bunch of things that we had to go through. So when I wanted to go get my alcohol license for the businesses, the entire neighborhood is showing up to the rezoning meetings, telling the board why I should not have alcohol, right? And that was like a huge thing. Like, I'm talking, we had 6 meetings with the board just because every single time it was more and more and more work that I had to put in, like talking to the neighborhood, talking to the mayor, having the mayor coming, talking to the neighborhood. Like, it was a big thing just to even get alcohol. And that showed me, you know, you need to get in the community, you need to get into the people around you and let them know, hey, this is what I want to do in your backyard. This is going to benefit you. How can I benefit you? How can you benefit me? You know, and really make that relationship. So taking care of your community, I would say.
Yeah, that's interesting. So on that first deal, like you said, it was kind of moving a little too fast because, you know, you kind of got excited with it and skipped over some of those key due diligence, which I think all of us can relate to that at some point or another out there in our investing journey. But that second one there with Millennial Park, so how did that end up? Now, did you have to have, you know, meetings that you were holding just for the residents outside of those separate board meetings? Did you then have to say, okay, now I got to figure out this parking situation? And how did that work its way through on some of that stuff?
All of that. Right across the street is Baton Rouge General, which is a huge hospital. Okay. They actually own the property that is right next to my property. Okay. That's just a vacant parking lot. So meeting with them, meeting with their CEO, getting an agreement on paper, saying, hey, I can use your parking. I'll pay you this much a month to use your parking. That helped. Also had to have separate meetings with just the neighborhood. We had just the neighborhood a couple of times. I think we had 3 meetings where we had the mayor come out, city council come out, and we're all meeting at the property just trying to see how we can all just coexist and make things work. Yeah. And the parking was a big issue, so that helped out a lot. The sound, like, okay, we made an agreement, okay, nothing after 10 o'clock, no loud music after 10 o'clock. And also kind of just closing some things down, like, okay, we'll make sure, I even partnered with a tow company as well. So I was like, hey, if anybody parks, I'm gonna make sure anybody parks here, but if anybody does, feel free to call this number, they'll get the car towed. And so just a lot of push and pull just both ways, with a lot of different meetings and just things that I could try to help. And honestly, we had to even close down after a while just because it got to a point where your relationship was so strained that I would be out there cleaning sometimes and just have a little bit of music, but it was just me, not even an event. And the cops would be pulling up and they're like, yeah, we got a noise complaint again. And we got another noise complaint again. And this is like, oh my gosh. So like, we were going through that for so long. So it wasn't even like, the relationship was just strained. It wasn't good at all. So we actually had to close things down for a little bit to kind of reconsider some things and really revamp it. And so that's why I ended up starting to develop the building that's on the site. So we have a big plot of land that where the shipping containers are, but also right next to it is there a building where my grandpa's barbershop used to be, and it's a huge building. And we're actually developing that now currently to have a bar inside. So to kind of keep some noise. So we'll have this outside and then everything else, the events will be in the building. So we're still trying to work things out.
Yeah,
sure, everything's going smooth, but it was all a learning process for sure.
Yeah, and it goes back to what we were talking about before, which is, you know, you started doing stuff and then as you're doing it, problems arise and you're figuring out ways around it. So this is interesting now because it's kind of evolving. You go, okay, now we're going to put part of it into the building. We're going to develop that. So that's pretty cool. That's interesting to see. And definitely, I could imagine a big learning experience. So last thing I wanted to ask you, last question here, kind of before we get into some of, you know, where people can follow you is, what is the future looking like here for you? You know, you're still a young guy. But you're doing so much. I mean, what is the next, you know, 4 or 5 years look like for you? What are you hoping?
Next 4 or 5 years, I would like to continue to just expand. I want to have 100 doors by next 5 years. I'd like to have 100 doors, whether that's, you know, single families or that's a couple apartment buildings. I would actually fast track it. You know, you get 30 more doors added out at a time would be awesome. But in 5 years, I'd like to have 100 doors. And I would also like to help at least 10 to 15 of close people to me as well get their first rental property. As well, I like to do that, and just to continue just to elevate in any way I can. I just recently started to take my social media presence a little bit more serious. I have managers now that are helping me with like partnerships and things like that. So just to kind of elevate everything, just trying to continue what I'm doing, stay consistent, and help people along the way, and also learn a lot more and get a lot of things under my belt and get about 100 doors.
That's awesome. That's exciting. Yeah, that's exciting stuff, and that's very cool. Wanting to help the others, you know, around you as well, because, you know, it's like you said, it's could be a very, very rewarding industry, and definitely has got a lot of stuff going for it, and be able to help other people around you is great. And so, Cameron, that's awesome, man. You've got a lot of stuff going on. Like I say, definitely you're going places and you're making your moves out there. How can people, if people want to follow you on the social media, you know, what's the best place for them to do that? If they want to get in touch with you know, with you and find out about some of the stuff you're doing, let us know and we'll put the links in, guys, into the notes here. But what's the best way for people to follow you and get in touch with you?
Best way, I would say on all my socials is the same. I would say Instagram would be the best way to contact me, DM me, or email me. My email is linked to my Instagram. My Instagram is Cam Jackson CEO. And that's all my platforms as well. So if you want to DM me, I try to check my IG DMs a lot. And if you email me, for sure, either my managers will see it and they'll reach out to me and then go from there. Yeah,
that's awesome. Very cool, guys. So Cam Jackson, CEO, give him a follow on there. Cameron, we appreciate you being with us today. It was great, great hearing your story and getting to meet you. And guys, if you've got any questions for us or, you know, you need to get in touch with Cameron, if you're not finding it there, let us know. Appreciate you guys following us on all our socials at The KP Elite. And let us know if you've got any questions. It's questions@kpeliteaz.com. And we will see you guys next time. Thank you.